Thank you so much for listening to Urbanistica podcast. I am Mustafa Sharif, an urban planner, and you're more than welcome to join my big journey of exploring the making of smarter and more livable cities. Please don't forget to follow Urbanistica on the different social media platforms, and also let's connect on LinkedIn. Big thanks to Urbanistica podcast partner, AFRI. AFRI is an international engineering and design company providing sustainable solutions in the fields of energy, industry, and infrastructure. Are you ready for a new episode? Let's go for it. Hello and welcome, Jacinta, to Urbanistica podcast.
Thank you very much, and I'm very pleased to be here.
How are you?
I am really, really good.
Yeah. How is your day today? The third day of Utopian Hours.
I would say super inspiring, but I'm also a little bit beat up because I just got out of my own conference about third places.
Okay.
Which was a little stressful because I'm not a big public talker. But yeah, that was fun, and I hope that people were inspired.
Yeah, I think so. Also, it's always good to challenge yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
So recycling public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what is it about?
So recycling public spaces or urban spaces overall for us is a very specific thing because we have Sinyoko. My company,
yeah,
we have developed a tool called the Third Place, which is not a new tool. It's a very old tool. if we want to talk about third places just a little bit, why we are talking about the third place is because there's an American sociologist who back in the 80s and the 90s said that there were social spaces that were not the ones from work, which would be considered the first place, and home, which would be considered the second place.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be other spaces where people could meet and, you know, have social gatherings and talk about their issues without feeling the pressure of, you know, being either at home or at work. So this definition has transcended times, and we kept that definition because at Sinyoko we believe that the way we can do sustainable development is by making sure that people can communicate and cooperate around those issues. So that's why we think that we are developing third places, and we're pretty sure that we are.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But the recycling aspect.
Yes.
What, like, how is, are you talking about?
Yeah.
Because when you say recycling, the first thing I'm thinking about is material.
Mm-hmm.
But are we talking about material or something else?
All right, sorry. We're talking about buildings. Okay. So we recycle old neglected buildings, and we try to make them more about, again, that's what I was saying a little bit earlier. We try to make them more about having people meet in an urban space.
Yeah.
So we use neglected urban buildings, and we have very tactical actions and very tactical tools that make us able to transform those spaces really quickly. And in the end, it's not so much about the history of the place or its architecture, but it's more about what it has become.
Mm-hmm.
So we recycle buildings, actually.
Okay.
And then once we're in there, we do actually recycle materials. So for instance, one of our third places, which is La Cité Fertile in Pantin, in the outskirts of Paris, it's a former train station that we completely rehabilitated back in 2018.
Okay.
And other than rehabilitate it, meaning making it open to the public and for work, we were able to get some materials actually from
the station.
Yes, from the station to build furniture and, you know, pétanque, which is a very French thing. So pétanque fields and a volleyball field and, you know, water tanks. So, yeah, we did that.
Yeah.
And in all of our places, we also only use recycled furniture on the inside. So we're thrifting gods, I would say. And our places are super aesthetically pleasing because of that. It has a very Wes Anderson feel to it.
Yeah.
But because we're really good at thrifting.
Yeah, like about the station, when you say we like you reopened it or no?
So it's not a train station anymore. It's just like
a building standing there.
Exactly. It's just like a logistics building.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be a logistics building. Yeah. Now it is one of Paris's biggest alternative places where a lot of communities can meet about, sustainable development, inclusion, the frugal city,
This. Yeah. But when you do this change, mm-hmm. like recycling buildings or third places, mm-hmm. You're changing the DNA of a place, no? Or how do you see this?
I don't think we're changing the DNA of the place because, okay, I'm going to take another example, which is La Halle aux Poissons in Le Havre, which is in the north of France. It's a small yet very active city. And in Le Havre, what we did is that we signed a lease, a 30-year lease with the municipality to reopen the former fish market of Le Havre, which is an amazing building. Just look it up online. The architecture is just amazing. Yeah. But that place was used for a little bit and then closed forever. Mm. So everybody knows about this place, but couldn't get in. So when we opened La Halle aux Poissons last year in 2022, our goal was to celebrate the heritage of that building, which is a fish market, but turn it into a cultural space. So what we do in La Halle aux Poissons is that we talk about marine ecology. So we talk about protecting the oceans and the seas, but still in a very fun, playful, guilt-free way.
Yeah.
So in there you have a small cinema where you can watch documentaries about marine ecology. You have small workshops and boutiques for local creators and artisans. And we also have a sustainable canteen that provides sustainable food to everyone that wants to have eat or drink there. Yeah.
And what is like the process or methodology that you follow, let's say when you get a third place or space and you start to develop, what are the steps you're following?
So what we always start with is look at the territory we're gonna settle in, because third places are super connected to the inhabitants, the local stakeholders, the local associations. So we look at the needs of the territory. We look what the people have been lacking, if it's a fun place or a place to work at or creative spaces. We look at what they need. And then from that, we build a base of an operating model, usually centered around sustainable eating, sustainable drinking, and various types of activities ranging from small workshops, debates, all the way to bigger themed parties.
Okay.
So that's the base, and then our third places are super experimental and very connected to the territory and the needs of our community, meaning that once we have that base settled, we will let in and welcome in all of those initiatives and ask them if they want to be part of our third place. And then they will either program an event or program some things in our spaces, or they will become partners or residents of the place and develop their own thing in one of our places.
But do you manage, because like now when you're telling me, is it also about the software, like the programs and the happening? Do you manage the place, or there's an organization taking care of these programs?
So activities? The organization is us.
Okay, so you also take care of the place.
Yeah, exactly. Because we have been operating third places for over 30 years now.
Wow.
So that's actually, we started with cultural venues, but transdisciplinary cultural venues.
Yeah.
And then we transitioned into third places and eco-cultural third places. But the heart of our expertise and what we know is how to manage this type of places that are super transdisciplinary, where you have a bunch of different actors living in the same space and trying to build something on their own, yet in a common space, you know?
Yeah.
So the company is us.
Yeah. What are the three elements that make a place successful, like more livable and successful and keep, there's a life?
Yeah. So I would say permanency of activities, meaning that in all of our places you will always find something to do. there are events, obviously, that will bring people in. But even if there are no events, there's always something to do, whether it is, you know, participating to the shared garden, or, you know, feeding the animals that are on our spaces, or working from there. So permanency of activities is super important. Second thing is the mission that we give ourselves. So having, you know, a mission for each of our spaces, whether it is about raising awareness about ecology, or raising awareness about the inclusion of all individuals and minorities, women actually in society, etc. And I would say the third thing is making our places super pretty. Our places are very pretty. As I've said before, we are thrift gods, and we know how to make aesthetically pleasing places while still having a very low carbon footprint. So people, a lot of people who are not into activism, do come to our place because they're like, oh, I want to hang out in this beautiful space.
Do you involve people in the making of these third places?
We do. In the making, I would say that that's what I was saying earlier. In the beginning, we look at the territory and we try to build connections with local partners and the inhabitants. So they are involved in either giving ideas or even building like a very specific activity with us.
Okay.
So that's what we did again in La Cité Fertile, for instance, is that we built a shared garden with the local schools. And then once the place is settled, once our third place is settled and ready to go, we always welcome people in.
And do you see that like the programs here are applicable in that city or in that place or in this country, like there is something in common between them?
So I would say that each third place is completely unique, for sure. There are some common practices around, you know, bottom-up initiatives and sharing spaces, sharing resources, talking about sustainable development, talking about inclusion. I would say that we all share that in common. But no third place is similar to another, depending on the territory and depending on the humans behind it. Because third places are super, how to say, they are super connected to the humans that are operating them. So they are common practices and shared practices, but it's difficult to compare third places.
Or to implement, or one solution fits everything.
That wouldn't work.
There is no.
No.
What challenges you face when you work on recycling such places?
The biggest challenge that we have is that Socinico is a social and environmental company. Meaning that we're not a big corporation, but we're not nonprofit either. And that's a choice that we made a few years ago because we wanted to be more agile and we wanted to be more independent in the way that we work. But the thing is, being a social and environmental economy company means that we have a general interest mission, which is, you know, put life back into cities and put life back into territories, and also educating people, corporations, organizations, institutions, anyone about sustainable development. And this should be considered, a general interest mission or service. And being independent means that all of the money that we make has to go back into that general interest mission. But that also means that we have to secure jobs for the people who work in our company. So we're always on a very, how to say, the economic model of our company is strong, but, you know, it can be challenged very, very quickly because of that. Because
to find a project?
No, to, you know, to, I wouldn't say to survive, but... like we're always, all of the money that we make goes back into the project. So we don't have a lot of room for growth and we don't have a lot of room for security is what I would say.
So like what you earn, it goes to the salaries and like paying rent and so on. And the rest goes back.
Yeah. I would say it goes back to the project first, making sure that we have this permanency of activities and making sure that we're growing our partnerships our local with local stakeholders. Yeah. And then it also goes like it's I would say it's on the same level, and it also goes to securing those jobs because we chose to be independent, right? So we need to secure those jobs and the people who work for us. So yeah, that's a challenge because our financial model is, you know, it can be at risk sometimes because of that.
Yeah. And how big is the team?
Okay, so right now we are 150 plus employees.
What?
Over five different third places.
So many.
Yeah, yeah, but what's interesting is because we are super multidisciplinary.
Yeah.
Meaning that in our companies, we need people to operate those third places. But since there are so many different activities, you need people to do security, you need people to do bartending, you need people to do the gardening, you need people to do, you know, to make sure that we stay on track with all of the partnerships that we have around the territory.
Follow up and
Exactly. And we also have people who are art curators, you know, we have marketing specialists, we have everything. So because third places are by nature multidisciplinary, you need all those different types of jobs. So 150 plus people, and during the summer when there's a lot of people in our places, we can go up to 200 people because we need more bartenders. So yeah.
And what challenges you face when you work in a project?
I would say that one of the main challenges is making people understand what we do, because third places are very complex facilities, and as I've said before, each third place is very unique and it has its own model. So sometimes people come to us and try to ask with they try to ask us a project with a list of very specific things, and the thing is, we cannot provide that if we haven't, you know, studied the territory or understood like what are the political states on that territory. So yeah, one of the most challenging things is making sure that people understand what we're doing and how it works.
Can we
need to cough, I'm sorry.
Do that. You can drink your
sorry.
Get some. I can put it closer to you so you can drink.
Okay.
If we scale up the recycling of places to recycling like cities, what can we recycle? In your opinion.
If we recycle buildings to recycling cities?
What else can we recycle in a city?
Oh, what else can we recycle? I think let's start with looking at okay, I have an interesting take on
tell
this.
Tell me.
Because I've been working with a few different municipalities around France about these topics, and it's recycling sports facilities. And by recycling sports facilities, I don't mean you know, putting the sport aspect out of it, but rather reinventing the facility, the sports facility. So for instance, we work with municipalities who want to make their swimming pool, their municipal swimming pool, more attractive, because a lot of people don't go to the swimming pool anymore. And thinking about it through a third place perspective makes it have more sense, because if you have other types of activities, or if you make swimming more attractive or more fun than just, you know, doing lanes of swimming, more people are going to go there. And by the end of the day, even like the, because swimming pools are a very expensive infrastructure. But if you have more people going there, and if you have people spending their money on other things than actually swimming, then you can have a facility that that doesn't have such a big debt at the end of the year. So that's very interesting. And we are doing that also with I cannot find that word. Escalade. Yes, with a climbing facility. So the thing is with climbing is that it addresses a very specific community, which is the climbing community. And we have met several, and I wouldn't say entrepreneurs, but and we have met several entrepreneurs that were like, I want to make climbing more fun and more popular.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that if I keep the current model of climbing, of the climbing spaces, people are not going to come because, you know, it's like, it's ugly, it's smelly, and like, you know, either you're a climber or you're not. But with trying to organize other events around climbing, like parkour or even cultural events around, you know, urban culture, you can bring in other people who will in the end maybe have an interest in climbing. And that's what the third place model is all about. It's trying to bring people together and try to make them try new things.
So it's more like about not only relying on one specific sport or function, but adding other functions to empower this main function.
So exactly, with a very social aspect to it. So making sure that everybody has access to that activity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of people do not feel like there's like a limit or there's a barrier and that they cannot do that sport because they're going to think it's not for me. I'm not from that culture or, you know. And with third places, by, you know, putting other activities around the main activity, people will come for something else, but then they will end up seeing that, you know, climbing is not so scary and that climbing is actually for everybody.
But is how to say, when it comes to activities and programs and so on, is there always people coming to this kind of activities or not, like only one or two?
There's always a lot of people because, and that's what's interesting with the canteen restaurant that we have been developing with Sinyoko, with our third places, is that a lot of people come to our places because they just want to have a drink. They just want to have a good beer. They just want to have a glass of wine, chit-chat with friends in a cool-looking place.
Yeah.
But turns out because the place has also, you know, climate crisis exhibitions because it forces you to, you know, compost all of the food that you haven't eaten because you have to use, I don't know how to call them, the dry toilets, like the composting toilets, you know? I don't know the word in English, but yeah. because you have to use that and because we ask you not to bring, you know, plastic water bottles or... You know, because we force you to have like a sustainable approach to the way that you are enjoying the space.
Yeah.
In the end, people are being sensitized about that. So yeah, that's our model, and we've been super proud of it, and it's been working.
Super cool. And when it comes to developing these spaces, what should we stop doing?
Oh, honestly, I would say think too much. Because that's what we sometimes do. We try to do a lot of philosophy around what we do.
Like think about the concept or the program or what?
Yeah, think about like the concept and the partnerships that we want to do. And is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Who do we want to do this with? And should we do it next year or the year after that? And sometimes we think too much about the philosophy behind our projects. But with the climate crisis going on right now, with, you know, the social fractures that we have, with, you know, the economic system that's coming closer and closer to failure, we need to move faster. And, you know, debating about what we do, is it good, is it bad, as long as it's not, you know, I wouldn't say, like, how to say that, but... It's just we should stop asking ourselves question whether or not what we do is good or bad. We know it's good and we can always better it along the way.
Yeah, yeah. So stop overthinking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there something else you think we should stop to?
What should we stop doing? Because we've talked about recycling urban spaces, actually, and a lot of in the third place sector right now, a lot of people are building new third places. So with, you know, they're using more land and they're using high carbon footprint materials to build them because they're like, okay, I need a third place in my city or in my neighborhood. So, you know, they're building new buildings. But as we've said before, it's so important right now that we look at the existing buildings that we have and use those instead, because we cannot just keep, you know, destructing buildings that have actually history and heritage, even if it's polluted or, you know, we can always, we should always put more money into preserving those historical buildings and making them purposeful instead of letting them, you know, destroy themselves and building new things.
I totally agree with you. Like, it's instead of putting money and on taking more land, we have an existing infrastructure that we can, like, take care of and work with it. So I totally agree with you. And this year is the European Years of Skills. When it comes to developing third places, what should we, or what skills should we learn in order to create third places?
A third place. Well, the thing with third places is that you need to be super, you have to be like a Swiss knife. You have to know a little bit about everything, and you have to be super operational. You cannot just be a thinker or doer. You have to be both of these things at the same time. So what we do actually at Cineco is that we train people to have that mindset and learn how to operate and manage those multidisciplinary places. And we've been doing that for 6 years now.
Nice.
So just training people all around France who want to embark on the third place journey. Every month we have a training session that, you know, tells them or try and help those people how to conceive their own third place and then manage it, you know.
Super cool. So we are in the last section of this episode and it's about you giving messages. So we start with the first first message, and it's to cities. What is your message to cities when it comes to third places?
Oh, I have a very clear message.
That's good.
You have neglected buildings that are waiting for a new purpose. And also you have bottom-up initiatives laying around your city. There are people in your city who just want to use the those buildings and make them, you know, purposeful. And they want to make them third places. So if you are educated about third places as a city, if you are educated about recycling your buildings, and if you are in the know of what bottom-up initiative is waiting to get access to that building, you can do amazing things and you can completely renew the face of your city thanks to that.
Yeah, it's possible. And next is that you give a message to our colleagues, like within our industry, planners, designers, architects, and so on, working with the spaces in between buildings.
I would say that third places have been here forever, but the way that we theorize them today is very new. So most likely you have a lot of third places around you as a scholar or an urban planner or architect, so you should go visit those. And if you still don't understand how they work and what they do, you should definitely come and see us in Paris so that we can show you how they work actually and maybe inspire you to do similar things back in everywhere, actually.
For sure. Like, there's always, I think it's always good when people meet and talk, inspire each other. And last message is that you're going to tell to yourself, give yourself a message.
Oh, God. A message to myself. What do you want to tell myself? This is not a heartbreak lesson. What message do I want to give myself? Yeah, because I've been saying stop overthinking, and I'm going to say that to myself as well.
Also,
stop overthinking, especially because sometimes we think that we are the problem in not, how to say, sometimes I can think that I am the one not explaining correctly how third places work. But the more and more time goes on and the more more experience that I'm getting, I realize that sometimes people just don't understand, and I'm okay with that.
Thank you so much for giving your time
to
record this episode, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thank you.